Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Barbecue and sports in Memphis go together perfectly with us. You're listening to the Jason and John Show live from the Topps Barbecue Studios, online at toppsbarbecue.com, and with a new location in Bartlett on Stage Road. The best barbecue and burgers from Topps go perfectly with sports on 92.9 FM ESPN.
I don't love her. I try to tell myself, but you can see it in my eyes. So don't deny, I can't fool no one else. The truth is in the tears I cry.
If you are thinking about putting your home on the market and moving across town or whatever the case may be, get with our team. Our friends over at the Live Love Memphis Group, they are here to help you navigate this crazy process. They know what it's going to take in this market to get top dollar, get the absolute most money for your home. It can be a once-in-a-lifetime thing, right? This market, get the most for your money. Live Love Memphis can help you do that. Email them, info@livelovememphis.com.
Or you can go ahead and call them up like I did 2.5 years ago, 901-410-8818, and what a blessing it was to be talking to Jennifer Carstensen. And I'll tell you the funny thing. She didn't even come out to my house. She didn't have to know what we needed to sell it for. Did the virtual tour, showed her everything I had. She said, Jason, this is what you got to fix. Didn't even include the list of things I thought I had to fix before selling a home. Part of the reason why I had so much fear when it came to selling my home. Thought it was going to take me thousands just to get it on the market to get it ready. I was wrong. She was right. And she's always right. Her team is always right. They didn't just help us sell that home out in Raleigh. They helped us pick our dream home now. And they'll do that for you as well. Again, that number, 901-410-8818. I will always be indebted to them because they made my wife happy, they made me happy, made my family happy. They'll do the same for you. And remember, it's not just in Tennessee. They're also licensed in Mississippi as well, so they'll take care of you. It's Jennifer Carstensen. It's the Live Love Memphis Group at RE/MAX Experts. They're at livelovememphis.com.
Yeah, so over the break, I said Pontiac Thunderbird.
It was, yeah, get that out there.
Thunderbird is Ford.
And I told you that then.
Yeah, Pontiac.
But I should have registered because I loved Firebirds.
It's the Firebird that the Pontiac folks
And they would have some T-tops, BC. You were talking about that
I-Rock T-top. Those were hot, too.
Yeah, the Firebirds, yeah. T-top.
Really nice.
Yeah. Now, wasn't the Firebird and Smoking the Bandit?
Yeah. Yep. That was
I'm looking at John
black
like he
that,
might know.
Yeah. But yeah, had that big, he had a big bird on the hood. No, hood would spread out, big bird.
Them old references. Yep.
That's this is right from our era, though. This is about 15 years before you.
Like me asking you, like, well, wasn't that in Rugrats? I mean, how the hell would you know?
Don't you love Bert? Don't you and all white people love Burt Reynolds?
Yeah, of course.
All right, well, you're supposed to know some of his old movies.
Deceased, by the way. God rest his soul.
Rest in peace. We lost him in 2018.
Yeah.
A fine Florida State running back at one time.
Heard
career.
That.
Went on to a great acting career. The great Burt Reynolds. John, I want to introduce you to him.
I'm very familiar with Burt Reynolds, man.
Okay.
All right, I don't need to.
You know who Lonnie Anderson is?
Lonnie Anderson, no clue. Oh,
WKRP in Cincinnati.
Same era. Yeah, they were an item for a while. That's why I brought her up.
Yeah,
that's ahead of your time.
Thank you for that.
But I did. Yeah. I did want to get that straight because people were wondering. Yes, it is indeed the Firebird.
Oh no, they're saying it's a Trans Am, Smoking the Bandit. We got that wrong.
We got that wrong too. Let's
just get off the cars and get on.
Yeah, this ain't. Yeah,
we're not car experts, obviously.
Yeah, we got to get out of here. Yeah, thanks everybody for sending in today.
Good show. Yeah. Good show, guys.
Peace.
We got to cars.
Peace. Yeah. We're trying here.
Yeah. Anyway,
stayed on Larry Brown.
We
can talk about
experts. We're experts about that at this point. I mean, we know all there is to know about Larry Brown. So we could do that. But I did want to bring you some news because I do find it kind of fascinating about LeBron James. LeBron James, according to Shams Charania of The Athletic, has tweeted the following. LeBron James is changing his number. That's right.
It's not you. It's news. You're reading news. I'm rolling my eyes and sighing at LeBron making news at this point. Why?
He is going from the number 23, and he will be immortalizing the number of games that he lost to the Phoenix Suns in. He is going back to 6, is LeBron James. That, of course, was his number in Miami, where he won two championships in Miami.
Yes.
And that's also his number in the new Space Jam movie. Space Jam: A New Legacy is 6 in that movie as well.
It's always something with him.
It's not the story.
Always
John,
something.
It's LeBron.
Well, don't you think?
How about the story to be the second round of the playoffs, which you aren't
you're out
right now.
Don't you think that this is a very calculated move by LeBron James?
Everything is calculated from him. Like, what he says and doesn't say,
like,
all calculated.
My instinct would be that in his head, he is thinking, I cannot be or catch up to Michael Jordan. I'm just not going to be able to do it.
I'm glad you're saying that today.
I'm not going to be able to match his number of championships.
Glad you've come to terms with it.
Now, I know he's going to try. He's going to try. But I think he has come to a point in his career where at 36 years old, he is realizing how hard and how difficult that is going to be. And he is trying to now distance himself from that conversation. Now, he has to know that just because you change your name, you are not going to be able to do that. But I do think it is an effort to sort of remove himself from that conversation of trying to catch Michael Jordan.
Because if he'd gotten one this year, he's getting close, and you keep that thing at the forefront. Well, I think you're 100% right.
He'd be tied with him if he would have won this year.
No, he'd had 5.
Oh, he only has 4 right now?
Yes,
oh, I thought
John.
He had 5.
No, are you trying to give more?
I'm sorry.
2 in Miami.
Too many.
One in Cleveland.
And
one in L.A. And a whole bunch of L's that Mike never got.
Yeah, so it would take 2 just to tie him, right? And so I think he is absolutely coming to grips.
If it was 1 more, John, I'd say he's still got a shot because the Lakers will help him get that shot. It's 2 more you got
to
get.
He's coming to grips with the fact that he's not going to be able to do it.
Exactly.
And so he's like trying to just go out his own way. Which, by the way,
is why he turned it to Looney Tunes so fast after their first round loss.
Right.
You saw that. It's to change the narrative. It's to say, okay, well, that's not my drive anymore. To sort of give off the impression that that's the case. Now, if he could get 2, you could probably send the next 2 next year. We'll get right back into that narrative of him talking about matching Michael Jordan and how important that is to him.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, he's letting you know, while it is looking a little murky, that it's not as important to him. I think you're absolutely right about him trying to control the narrative. Man, give me a break about your number. Like, what? Come on, with all due respect, this is a story for next season, whatever else. The story right now is all these young studs and these playoffs and, all this new blood in the playoffs. Like, LeBron, I mean, I get it, and he's a mogul, and this is what moguls do. This is how you become one. You control narrative. Your story is the story. That's the way you do it. He's a master.
Yep.
Don't get me wrong. But come on, man. Right now, Nikola Jokic, MVP talk, that's the talk. Second round, all this new blood is the talk. LeBron changing numbers, that's news. Why? Because LeBron wants to be in the news, right? That's he wants to keep it going. And so I'd sort of roll my eyes at it because nobody cares less about numbers than me, what number you're wearing.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that right now.
When it's all said and done.
I know LeBron fans and stands will. Oh, he's going back to 6. Watch out now.
Well, he was a.
You're going to get Miami, LeBron. Now
I will say he was a killer with number 6. Well, he was a killer. He was.
Well, problem is, it's the number 36, and then the number 37, and then 38, and pretty soon that Reaper's trying to touch you, like Crossroads, Bone Thugs and Harmony. He's coming for you.
Boom, boom, boom.
That Reaper touch you on that forehead, you gone. They
Except
got Uncle
not,
Charles.
It's not the Reaper though. It's Devin Booker. You know what I'm saying? It's Donovan Mitchell.
Chris Paul.
Right.
Well, it can't be Chris Paul because he's as old as LeBron. But
he's the Reaper for LeBron this year.
That is, I think that's all fair. when it's all said and done, when LeBron James decides when Bronny gets into the league that his time is up, he will have completed the second greatest career of all time. He will have compiled the second best basketball career of all time. I mean, he's number two. You got to give him number two because he's probably going to win one more, man.
I mean, Kobe, one more?
Yeah, I know, but...
We're going to say that's because of who he played with? Like, LeBron needed...
LeBron's career's not over yet.
LeBron needed studs, too. Every time he won one, he had to have a guy behind. Even if it was Cleveland with Kyrie. Even if it was Miami with Bosh and Wade. What are we talking about here?
Tucker tweets us and says, you know...
That's a Trans Am in what you call it.
No, Bill Russell wore number six. But with all due respect to Bill Russell, ain't nobody checking for Bill Russell, okay? Nobody knows what number Bill Russell wore back in the day.
Make an argument, Bill Russell. Now, I'm with you. LeBron's number two for me. I'm not going to fight you on that. But there are plenty out there that would make a case and a strong one that he's not. That whether it's Bill Russell or Kobe or whoever else you want to put out. Magic Johnson, whoever else you want to put out there that they've, you know, in terms of accomplished. What'd you, because the way you phrased it, most accomplished career?
Second most.
I mean, titles matter in that when you put it that way.
Yeah, but look, 17-time All-Star, four-time Finals MVP, four-time regular season MVP, six-time All-Defensive, 07-08 scoring champ, 2019-20 assist champ, 16-time All-NBA. I mean,
change the game. That to me, more than anything else, when guys change the game, the Magic got five titles.
LeBron Kobe got five. LeBron has more. He has double the amount of Finals MVPs, and he has quadrupled the amount of regular season MVPs as Kobe Bryant. So look, yes, Kobe Bryant, one of the best. I would never argue that, but you cannot say, and LeBron's career is not over yet. LeBron's career still has 3 to 4 more years left, so he could easily match. He could easily match Kobe's five. I think I would bet on that.
It's so dependent on Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I would bet on that.
And his health.
And if they have the same amount of championships, we're not even having that conversation. But there's no shame in it, right? That's my whole point is that there's no shame in LeBron James switching. But not being Michael Jordan. There's no shame.
No, we talked about that
when your career is over, in being the second greatest of all time, man. You know, I mean, I know, you know, you would like to be considered and the undisputed, but there was a large percentage of the population. I'm sitting across from one of them that would never accept LeBron as the best, no matter what he did. So you have to understand that going into this.
I think we've stopped having those conversations, right? You don't even bring that to my door anymore, and you cannot. You'd have been able to bring that to my door.
It's not the right time.
Had he been able to push through and give you old LeBron with AD, you know, without AD, I'm getting through all that stuff. You'd have been able to knock on my door with that mess if he'd done it this year. Over. And let's not act like he didn't get some help last year when it turned into bubble ball. Like that. Let's be. Look who you were playing. Look who you were playing.
Mm-hmm.
Miami, a team that just got on a hot run, that got run over this season with essentially the same team. Don't act like bubble ball wasn't beneficial. I'm not going to put an asterisk beside it because I think that's going too far.
Yeah.
It was an NBA title, but let's not act like it was the same as the rest of his titles either.
Yeah.
Like that helped being down there.
And again, people are tweeting you saying that the reason that LeBron James has changed his number is so that Anthony Davis can go to six. That is not true. Sham Sharani says Anthony Davis is remaining at number three. So this is not some move for Anthony Davis to go back to Somebody tweeted you and said that Anthony, this is for Anthony Davis to go to six.
Well, LeBron's going to six. That's what you just said, right?
Right. But his point is that when the Lakers signed AD, that there was something like this guy tweeted you and said that there was something with the league. But my point is that Anthony Davis is not changing his number as a result of this. Like Anthony Davis is not going to, you know, Anthony Davis is staying where he's at.
Again, numbers talk.
Yeah.
I know about Julio and AJ Brown and numbers.
Yeah, so
that's about the end of it there with my numbers stories.
You have to understand that every move and decision that LeBron James makes is for a reason. This is not some
reason is to stay in a news cycle.
Well, yes,
ridiculous.
Yes, that's
the reason.
Again, I truly believe
keep him at. So you still talking about him? Still got his name on your lips? We shouldn't be talking about him at all right now.
Yeah.
It's quiet time for LeBron.
Well, let's
supposed to be vacation time.
The playoffs, right?
Have you seen him tweeting about the playoffs? Like usually it's shutdown mode.
Well, he's out. He's out of the playoffs.
He'll be on vacation,
man.
Nobody want to hear from you.
Oh, stop.
Nobody want to hear from the king right now. I don't give a damn what LeBron James thinks.
You know he has a whole movie to promote,
right? And I sure don't care. Yes, stick to that.
Stick to your movie. That was your big priority after, well, I got to go. I'm sorry, Olympics. Sorry, Tokyo. I got to go play for the Toon Squad. I'm dropping a movie in July, if you guys didn't know. All right, stick to that and promote your movie. Man, we want to talk about changing numbers. We still in the middle of the second round. Like, quiet down.
So now,
quiet down over
so
there.
So now LeBron is not even allowed to tweet, according to you.
When have you ever seen him tweeting this much about the league? And so what? So
He's out of the playoffs for the first time ever in the first round.
So he can touch more and say, well, he looks like a superstar. Or Ja Morant in the crown.
This is the first time he's ever had an opportunity to watch the second round as a viewer.
What Mike didn't do for him. You know, he want to be crowned the king to where he's giving everybody their knighthood. You know what I'm saying? That makes him feel more important because he never got it from Mike. Man, we don't need you to tell us
how cold Ja is.
Don't get triggered by this, man.
No,
dude does not know you.
Yeah.
Okay? You act like this dude knows you, and so when you defend him, he appreciates it. He don't hear you.
He doesn't need me to defend him.
He doesn't. He got four titles. Hell, you thought he had five.
I did think he had five.
Y'all LeBron folks done got crazy and gave him one he ain't even got. Well, count him up.
He's got four. But this whole idea that you're sort of pushing.
You just said you opened it with this.
No, I'm saying
that you think it's to get the priority off of him and Mike in the GOAT conversation.
Yeah, I believe that's true. Said. No, I believe it. But this whole idea that Michael Jordan has not given him his flowers or won't someday.
He didn't. Not like he gave to Kobe.
But Kobe passed, man. You know?
Dude, Mike was already doing it. He told us in the stories we didn't know. They were like brothers behind the scenes. The texting to each other, all that kind of stuff. He had done
But they
that.
Also played in the league at the same time as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, there was a little intersection there for a brief moment. You know, and it wasn't Michael Jordan at his peak.
He wanted to be Mike so bad.
Yeah. And that was the thing.
Kobe
literally patterned his game directly after Mike, so Mike was flattered by that.
He wants that reverence and everything else. And this is where we talked about this last week. This is where I get real serious. Stop comparing yourself to dude. Like, you are a GOAT in your own right. You're going to be a different kind of mogul in terms of what you're doing, this movie production thing. Like, he's touching areas that Mike never got to.
Right.
Like, that's good enough.
I agree.
That is good enough. You don't need to try to be him or try to have every accomplishment that Mike had. What you've done is spectacular.
Yeah.
There are many who will never touch it, John, and you got to be satisfied with that. Now, I'm not talking about kill your ambition, don't go out and take over the world, because no, don't do that. Don't stop chasing your dreams. But this idea that I haven't got it until I get the reverence that Mike gets or until I get his sort of acknowledgement that I'm one of the best, I just think you're going to disappoint yourself because that kind of thing, it may never happen. And we saw a reminder of that this year. As soon as AD goes down, series over. And unfortunately, he can't be old LeBron where he can just carry that thing to a championship by he never did it by himself.
Mm-hmm.
But to that point, get you at least through a first-round series. It's different now, man. He's aged. Y'all going to have to come to grips with that. And more importantly, though, to this conversation, he's got to come to grips with he's not going to be Mike in terms of accomplishments.
Right.
Do what you've done, that set of accomplishments you got, pretty dang untouchable and certainly enough to be satisfied with in terms of
– Well, you can't really –
I maximized what I had. The thing 100%. I love about LeBron that is that even from you're crowned this phenom when you were so young,
mm-hmm.
and look at the way he's sort of carried himself. No real off the court issues.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like you couldn't have done it better.
Nope.
But think about the pressure that's been on him this entire time. A lot of us break. Under that pressure, we got our vices. We need to go off and do those things to sort of get out from under it. You know, with Mike, and that became public. The gambling, all that kind of stuff. Now, I ain't saying, you know, my point is, we hadn't seen any of that from LeBron. All he does is show you he's a family man, right? Been married to the same woman the entire time. And again, that's not, we all go through problems in our marriages. But my point is, he sells family man, sort of like my man Thad Young does. And they all do. He's always been that and maintained that, never run into any serious issues when it comes to that kind of stuff. So I've always admired that you could have that much pressure on you at such a young age and then be able to carry it through and pretty much maximize the time you had in the league to become great. Like he did about as much as you could other than losing some finals. Now, John, he lost some finals. I think you forget that sometimes.
No, he did. I mean, that's true. It is true.
He lost to Dallas.
We're going to hold that over him for the rest of his life, clearly.
I just said, be satisfied with what you got.
The other teams he lost to were, some would argue, one of the greatest teams ever assembled. And so I think that should be said. It would be hard to go through life just think about the average person, right? The average person listening to this show, the average person just working, the average person doing whatever they are. Imagine if their only measure and their only metric in life is to be the best ever at what they do. Like, you can't go through life like that, you know, because you're just not, I mean, you're not going to do that. Now, you can strive to be the best that you can be, but you can't go through life saying, you know what, if I'm not the greatest that ever did it, then my life is worth nothing. You can't go through life like that, right? I mean, it's just, you know, what you have to be okay with, it just on a personal level, is did I do the best I can do, right?
And I just apply that to Bronny, to his son.
Yeah.
And fathers and sons and I'm sure in many ways daughters and moms, all that kind of thing. But you want to strive to be – just think about Bron. Think about Mike's kids. Right, they're living underneath that legacy, especially with Bronny, because we're talking about, you know, him getting into the league,
Mike's
LeBron standing around
until
then. Think about the pressure that's on them, but more so the pressure they put on themselves, right, to be as good as their dad.
Yep.
And the issue is going to be, if that's your goal, you are probably going to end up disappointed.
Right, falling
and
short.
Maybe to a point where it cuts off some things for you.
Yep.
You got to be your own man at some point.
Yep.
It can't be about trying to match your dad or anything else because, again, I'll tell you, I mean, to John's point, a lot of what he done is unmatchable. You're not going to be able to do that. But that if he feels that pressure to be better than dad, and that's the end-all, be-all goal for Bronny, then it's going to end in disappointment most likely, to your point about just cutting out, carving out your own path and being the best you can be. And that's what the hell I'm trying to convince LeBron of.
Right.
Instead of stop trying to, you know, go down the same path that Mike, get everything that he got and more and say, okay, now I'm the greatest.
Yeah.
No. You carved a new path, LeBron.
Yeah.
Be happy with that.
I think you're right. He's changed his number, and I have to believe there's a reason for that, and a lot of it's probably got to do with MJ. I think we're not going to hear him talk about chasing ghosts anymore. I think those days are over because
it'll
he knows.
It'll be hard to get to.
It's just not. I don't think it's going to happen at 36. I think he understands that. He knows the Lakers cap situation. Like, it kind of is what it is. They'll make a move.
Of course they will. The Lakers.
But
LeBron.
You know, how sort of impactful will it be? Yeah. I mean, that kind of remains to be seen. You open the I Promise School. You're doing great things in your community. You're giving back. You never got in trouble. You know, you've been a great ambassador for the NBA. Not saying that LeBron is perfect, but in terms of what was expected of him from a teenager up to him now being an adult, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're hard pressed to find somebody that sort of consistently met the bar as often
under that pressure
as LeBron has in his life. I think there's no shame in what he's accomplished. And look, I know people are probably very excited to never have to worry about hearing LeBron James versus Michael Jordan again. And I think this is one step closer to those debates certainly ending. All right, we'll come back. Mark Giannato is going to join us. We're going to talk about Larry Brown. Larry Brown. That's right.
LB, assistant coach.
That's right.
Oh, my Lord.
We'll do that when we come back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Barbecue and sports in Memphis go together perfectly with us. You're listening to the Jason and John Show live from the Topps Barbecue Studios. Online at toppsbarbecue.com. And with a new location in Bartlett on Stage Road, the best barbecue and burgers from Topps go perfectly with sports on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Mark Giannato is the host of Giannato and Jeffrey here on 90.9 FM ESPN Sports Columnist, the commercial appeal. How about this, man? It really feels like we're back to normal almost.
I know. We're in studio together, vaxxed up.
That's right. First time this has happened since, I don't know, I guess February
2020. Probably like February, yeah.
Yeah, so it's been quite a journey to get here. Okay, we're going to play a little word association game. I'm going to say a word or a series of words.
Oh, this is fun.
And you're going to tell me what the first thing that comes to your mind is. You ready?
Okay.
Larry Brown.
I came to terms with this over the course of our show yesterday. My initial reaction, why not? Like, why not? Like, at this point, like, what's the worst that could happen? Like, you're already embroiled in an NCAA case.
Yep.
And, like, honestly, the worst thing that could happen is he comes back, he's 80 years old, and realizes, man, this is a little too much, and leaves abruptly.
I hadn't thought about that.
Given his history, Larry Brown's history, he's not only the only coach in history to win a college basketball national championship and an NBA championship, also the only coach in history to be the head coach of two NBA teams in the same season. So this is a guy who can change his mind on a whim.
Exactly. Very true.
And I don't think at 80 years old, I think both, if it were to happen, it would ultimately be short-term no matter what. It'd be a short-term solution no matter what. I don't think this is something you see as something for the long haul. So I think the way you look at it is ultimately it comes back to, do I think he could help Penny Hardaway next season? Let's just look at one season at a time. Yeah, I think Larry Brown could help Penny Hardaway next season. And there are cons. He does come with considerable baggage. But I just say, why not? Like, why not? What's the, I guess the worst that could happen is you really tick off the NCAA. But
you've already done that.
Feels like, there's a history of that. There's a history of animosity between Memphis and the NCAA.
What comes with the baggage if he's not doing recruiting or academics or whatever else? What comes with the baggage other than a Pat 40 column saying, what's Memphis doing again?
Well,
of cons.
Yeah, I would say the one thing. To me,
you think Larry would try to meddle and get over?
I don't think he'd meddle. I think you look at. It would be very important then in my mind who the other assistant coach hire is because, from what you heard behind the scenes, Tony Madlock did a lot of stuff administratively.
Oh, absolutely.
And the way I describe Tony Madlock, I actually used, when I was on the golf course with Penny on Monday, I used this analogy and he agreed with it. I said Tony Madlock is like the guy when you're on a jungle expedition. He's the guy in front with the machete, knocking out all the stuff, the stuff in your way, so that you have a clear path to get where you want to get. He doesn't probably get credit for that because we don't see that day to day stuff. But I think Tony Madlock, one of his biggest roles was keeping a lot of stuff away from Penny Hardaway, getting it done himself because he was an experienced guy in the college game.
I totally agree.
And, I don't think Larry Brown at 80 years old is going to give you that.
No, he's not that guy.
He is going to help. He will be probably, and this is not meant as a knock on Tony Madlock. It's more Larry Brown is one of the greatest coaches of all time. He will be an upgrade probably on on-court coaching.
Yeah, I think you could but for that role, right? You could promote a Rodney Hamilton to be, because he's been the director.
Guy who's one of those one of those machete guys who probably doesn't get enough public credit for doing just a lot of the dirty work behind the scenes.
So on Larry Brown, right? What it would mean, I think we were all in agreement on our feelings on the hire. It's an upgrade, and most likely.
I would say potential hire at this point. I still think there's some, from what I've gathered in the last 24 hours, there's still some stuff that has to happen. Yeah, I don't think this is necessarily imminent necessarily.
Agreed. That's where I was going. Because Laird Veach was on with Jeff this morning. I don't know if you heard it, and he obviously could not comment on personnel matters. But my question to you, I know multiple meetings have had to be had about this, about Larry Brown, because of the reasons that we've outlined, right? Because of what he represents, because of what he's done in his past. So from what you have gathered, how do you think the administration feels about this?
I just think the difference to me, from what I've gathered, is whereas 3 years ago, the answer was no, this year they didn't get a no answer. I don't know if it means yes yet, but there's been no. Whether it's through people I've spoken to, but also just a gut feeling on this at this point, that's sort of how I look at it. So I think it certainly seems like the door is more open than it was 3 years ago. And I don't know. It just, like we talked about, ultimately, what's different now than 3 years ago is you kind of feel like, well, look at all they've been through over the past 3 years. Mm-hmm. What Penny Hardaway's been through over the past 3 years. He's basically been through about everything you could go through as a coach in terms of whether it's off the court or on the court. He's had off the court crises and on the court crises.
Yep.
And it's just like, you know what? Well, you know, it's his program ultimately, and if he feels this is the best move for the program, is there really enough standing in your way when you're already kind of going toe to toe with
the
NCAA?
You're in crosshairs as it is.
And so that's how I would probably, that's how I'm guessing it will ultimately be looked at. But at the same time, I do think there are a lot of complicating factors. Like, you do have to consider perception. You have to this IRP case, I think, because I think what sometimes is getting overlooked in the excitement, one, about the team that Penny's put together and the hopes for this team next year and filling the staff, like, and ultimately, this IRP thing determines the course of this program, the future of this program, way more than anything else we're talking about right now. Like, you know, Larry Brown is like a short-term thing. Like, it feels like the IRP stuff should be what, you know, that should take precedent over everything else in this moment in time, just in terms of figuring out what direction you want to go as a program, because I think that changes the direction quite a bit depending on what the consequences are from that.
But the reason you're in this boat, the IRP boat, mm-hmm. boat, and you are limited in terms of what you can go out and get,
yeah,
basically is because of an administrative decision. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the end, I know Penny wanted to fight, but he can't ultimately make that decision, right? So if sticking with your IRP, this is the best you can do, and in fact, it's, you know, you're getting a Hall of Famer, that kind of thing, in terms of the net you're able to cast.
And
don't you have to say, yeah, we kind of put Penny in this boat anyway with our decision to go ahead and play James. So,
well, and to your point,
he can't go out and get any assistant he wants.
I would say this. Playing James Wiseman in those games was a much bigger risk than hiring Larry Brown will be,
100%.
I think, at this moment.
Trying to take on the NCAA, 100%.
It's a far bigger, that was a far bigger risk
foolish.
Than, you know, hiring Larry Brown, like you said, you'll probably get the NCAA going, man, I can't believe you guys did it. And you'll probably get the Pat 40s and the national columnists. I can't believe they did that. Like, you'll get some of that. But whereas when you play James Wiseman, to me, if you look at the NCAA penalty matrix, you basically were begging for a postseason ban. Like, that is the standard punishment for playing an ineligible player they did. And maybe because this is going through the IRP process, maybe we don't know how this thing is going to – how they rule on stuff. Maybe they'll be more lenient. Maybe they'll be stricter. Maybe, you know, like – but you when you look at the totality of things – in terms of potential consequences, like immediate consequences, I mean, you immediately put yourself in violation of NCAA rules by playing James Wiseman.
Yep.
Hiring Larry Brown is not an NCAA violation. He doesn't have a show cause.
100%.
So,
100%.
And I too would also, I would bet that Memphis will get, they're going to do their due diligence if they haven't already.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to have some idea. Now, the NCAA is not going to tell you, right? They're not going to tell you, oh, if you hot, no problem at all. They're not going to say that, right? But I also think, like, Memphis would try to get some indication, you know, of how the NCAA would interpret it. Don't you think that's true?
The one thing I would caution on that is just look at the most recent ruling. And Oklahoma State did appeal this and was able to play in the NCAA tournament, but it was more like as Jeffrey has put it on our show, stay of execution. When Oklahoma State got their punishment from their assistant's involvement in that FBI case, I mean, it came off as overly harsh, and they were just totally taken aback by it. Like, it seemed like it came out of left field for them that they got a postseason ban. So I don't know if you can necessarily feel like you're going to get assurances from the NCAA, like, this isn't going to be that bad. Trust us.
Oh, for
don't
sure.
Don't worry about it. I don't know if you're going to get that.
I highly doubt you get that. If you got anything, I think they'd probably just say, you know, we are not going to allow this to impact the investigation, and it's not going to impact our investigation or our ultimate ruling on you. Either way it goes.
Well, nor should it ultimately. Like hiring Larry Brown, if they want to be concerned about that and they want to open up another investigation or something, then go for it. hiring Larry Brown should have nothing to do with what you're investigating in the IRP. It shouldn't be, right. You know, even though, you know, again, perception-wise, nationally, it'll be viewed as, oh, Memphis just up to its old ways again, you know, bringing in Larry Brown. Like, in actuality, it shouldn't. They have nothing to do with each other, hiring Larry Brown and what happened with James Wiseman.
Agreed. So in terms of do you think ultimately, and like you mentioned, like there are so many different things and people that have to sign up. Do you lean more towards it happening or not happening?
Here's what I'd say. I lean more towards Penny's going to get what he desires.
It's time to give it to him.
I don't know. You know, I don't feel comfortable. You know,
for sure.
You've obviously done some better and more reporting on this than me. I don't necessarily feel comfortable saying with certainty. I know Penny Hardaway wants Larry Brown. I just think ultimately. Penny will get what he wants ultimately at the end of the day, I think.
I'm curious about this. I read your column. Did the Penny you got on the golf course, was he different than the Penny you'd covered before in terms of the press conference, Penny, all that? It seemed like he was pretty open with you. You're comparing Tony Madlock and he's buying your now, you know, seemed like you
I would say this, it was the best conversation I've had with Penny Hardaway, like me and him, over the years. And I've interacted with him quite a bit, you know, one-on-one. But
sounds like a guy who's confident if he's doing that with, you know what I'm
saying?
Yeah,
and I still think, you know, ultimately, like, he's not opening up to me like he would one of his friends by any means, you know.
Sure, but.
But it just felt like, I think he knows what he's got to do this year. I mean, every time you talk to him, every question you ask, it all comes back to, like, I think he's laser-focused on getting, you know, he said it right after the season, getting over the hump. Like, I think he knows, you know, one of the great things about Penny is he can relate to so many different people. Like in this charity golf tournament with the AutoZone CEO, he's just one of the boys. Just like when he's down at Steen's restaurant, he's one of the boys. Like he's in South Memphis. Like he can relate to a large swath of people. It's one of his great characteristics as a person, as a human being, and absolutely, also as a coach, too. It comes in handy. And I just think he's comfortable with, one, I think he feels like he hit on something at the last half of last year.
Like you wrote, he's developed a culture that I think he's confident.
He feels like he's found it now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I said to him, I put it in the column, and I said to him, I go, you know, you said you wanted to build this great culture the day you took this job. And I was like, it seems to me, and you're not the only coach, like saying it is one thing, but actually implementing it is another. And he totally agreed. And that's where,
especially for a first time college coach.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, he said to me basically unprompted, like, you know, culture is the number one thing in my mind now. And we didn't, like, he knows now looking back, he didn't set, you know, I think he had the right idea for what culture he wanted, but he didn't implement
executing
it.
Yeah,
he didn't execute
thing,
it slash implement it the way he wanted to until the tail end of last year. And even then he was, you know, he acknowledged like he knew who was unhappy on that team. And it's a credit to, I think when you look back at it in retrospect, that NIT title run will seem more and more like a great accomplishment for him. If indeed, you know, this is the year they make the tournament and whatnot, because the fact that they did it with so many, it seems, competing agendas at play, probably is why he feels comfortable. Like, he's like, how much harder can it get than that?
Right.
You know, where you've got 3-4 guys who are, you know, really, you know, basically we're like, I'm out as soon as this is over.
Yep.
And you still won your last game. So it does seem he's... what's really interesting about Memphis basketball right now is, like, you can look at it, you can be really optimistic when you look at it certain ways, and there are other ways where you can be like, man, like, what does the future hold, like with the IRP and things like that. But there are lots of reasons to be optimistic. And I think, you know, Penny Hardaway is a glass half full guy naturally.
Yep.
And I think there are plenty of reasons for him to feel good about the way the program's going. And, like, you know, ultimately this is going to be his first veteran team this year. And so it will, you know, but at the same time, you know, we could learn before the season that they're not eligible for the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. Like, to be honest, like, that is on the table.
Oh, absolutely.
That is on the table. And so it's just an interesting dynamic at play with that program. But I do think what's interesting is Penny might, maybe he brings in Larry Brown, but it feels as if he's more certain of, than ever, of what he wants to be as a college coach. And I think that's a great sign.
You want
sign.
That going into year four, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a great sign. And so hopefully the powers that be allow it to play out. Powers that be both around the school and, yep. and in the NCAA allow it to play out the way we, you know, the fans deserve. That's what I always think come back to with this IRP thing. Like, man, it would be really tough for the fans if now you finally built this thing up to a place, you feel like you're on the cusp of something, and, you know, it gets taken away from you.
Agree, totally. Mark, always appreciate you coming
Thank
on,
you,
man.
Mark.
Nice to have you back
Good
in
stuff,
studio. Man. We'll be listening. Thanks, man.
Thank you, guys.
He is Mark Giannotto. Catch him at 2 o'clock on Giannotto and Jeffrey.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.